You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, December the 7th. Well, my back is beginning to get sore after the third shoveling marathon this week. More light snow is in the forecast for this weekend for parts of Wisconsin. So as we have learned, keep the shovels handy. We will talk about religion and politics this hour following Mitt Romney's much-anticipated speech yesterday, addressing his faith and how it would affect his presidency if elected.
Almost 50 years ago, another candidate from Massachusetts explained that he was an American running for president, not a Catholic running for president. Like him, I am an American running for president. I do not define my candidacy by my religion. A person should not be elected because of his faith, nor should he be rejected because of his faith. Let me assure you that no authorities of my church, or of any other church for that matter, will ever exert influence on presidential decisions. Their authority is theirs within the province of church affairs, and it ends with the affairs of the nation begin.
So, did Mitt Romney convince anyone who's concerned about his Mormon faith that it would not influence his presidential decisions? Did he do his candidacy any good with this speech? Was it too late? Should he have more specifically addressed the Mormon faith? We will talk about all of this with our guest this hour and welcome your thoughts and questions on Mitt Romney's speech on faith and how the timing of the speech as well. It comes as Mike Huckabee's surging in the polls and running ads touting himself as the Christian leader. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Damon Linker, author of The Theocons and senior writing fellow in the Center for Critical Writing at the University of Pennsylvania. His essays and reviews have appeared in numerous publications, including The New Republic, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, and many others. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So, well, how do you do? How do you think Mitt Romney did with that speech yesterday?
Well, in purely political and tactical terms, I think it was a great success for him. He took a big risk in scheduling a speech of this importance and with so much potential for controversy so late in his campaign. I mean, he's been in the race for almost a year now. I actually wrote an article for the New Republic about Romney and Mormonism in the race for the presidency about a year ago, and I predicted then that he would give a speech like this in January of last year. Yeah. Obviously, I was off by only about 11 months, but what the heck.
Well, why do you think he waited so long?
I'm not sure. Mm. I don't have any contacts inside the Romney campaign. Part of it might have been that he didn't want really to raise this issue. He seemed uncomfortable with the Mormon question in the past. And I think perhaps the rise of Huckabee as a potential serious challenger may have scared the campaign enough into realizing that they really had to confront this issue or else all of the evangelicals in the Republican Party would defect to Huckabee as their standard bearer.
Yeah, and don't we see some polling evidence that at least evangelical Christians are saying that they are, whatever, very uncomfortable with Mitt Romney's Mormon faith?
Oh, absolutely. Evangelicals are very suspicious of Mormonism. They have been for a long time. Many of them think of it as a cult. There are also kind of interdenominational tensions about what's called sheep stealing normally Christian denominations don't try to convert one to the other. They try to convert non-Christians to Christians. But Mormons do try to convert pretty much anyone who listens to them. And in South America and Central America, Mormons have made a lot of inroads by converting people who used to be forms of evangelicals. So there's that kind of tension as well. So, evangelicals are suspicious of him, and this was a problem for him. But now that Huckabee is doing well, I think the fear is that Romney will just be forgotten among the evangelicals. And this was his great attempt to get noticed and to ease some of those tensions.
Yeah, well, he certainly got noticed. Did he ease those tensions?
Well, it's I don't speak for evangelicals, so I can't say. But the people I've heard interviewed in the last day since the speech seem to be enthusiastic. A lot of evangelicals like the speech. He didn't address Mormonism in great specificity, but he did say, I think, kind of the key important words, which were the ones that you just had at the top of the segment, about how he would not take orders from anyone in his in the church hierarchy, that when essentially when he becomes president, hypothetically, he takes the oath of office, and then his duty is to the Constitution and not to the church. And that really is the key. And in that, at least in that narrow part of the speech, he sounded a lot like John Kennedy in his 1960s speech when he said similar things about the Catholic hierarchy in the Vatican.
We are talking with a guest about Mitt Romney and whether he did his candidacy some good or not when he delivered his Faith in America speech yesterday at the George Bush Presidential Library in College Station, Texas. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your reactions and questions for our guest this hour about the speech and about religion and politics. Damon Linker is author of The Theocons, Secular America Under Siege. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, December the 7th. Coming up later today, John Munson in for Ben Marins for At Issue, and it is your views on the news after 4 o'clock. And I believe after 5 o'clock, John will also be talking with a guest about Mitt Romney's faith address yesterday. That's after 5. We're talking about Mitt Romney's speech and about politics and religion in general, and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, Damon Linker, who is Senior Writing Fellow in the Center for Critical Writing at the University of Pennsylvania and also author of the book The Theocons. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. John in New Lisbon is with us first. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You know, I just had a comment on my end. I consider myself an independent, and I'm leaning towards the Republican candidates at this time. And I was active duty military Air Force. I was stationed in Utah. That's where I was first really exposed to not just the name of the Mormon religion, but to its inner workings and the people. And I'll tell you, without question, there's no way I would ever vote for Mitt Romney after seeing that. And I think the difference that I've seen, and this is a question for the guests, would be that Catholicism, I think you have a lot of Catholics who sort of live their lives in moderation, I'll put it that way. So that was the difference, I think, with Kennedy. But with Romney, Mormons as a whole, from what I've seen, is they're very devoted. And that religion is pretty crazy, how it's founded. I guess I'm not being that nice, but, you know, after what I've seen out there, I just could never vote for a Mormon. Doesn't pass the common sense test to me.
Well, John, anyway, let me just get our guest to react to that. Damon Linker, is that
sure.
John's not alone, I take it.
No, he's not. A lot of people have those feelings. I mean, my own experience, I taught at Brigham Young for 2 years in the late 90s as a non-Mormon visitor to the university, and I was actually impressed with individual Mormons and their kind of moral seriousness and how they were so kind of upstanding and straight-laced. There's something impressive about that in our time, I guess. But as for the kind of the theological or doctrinal elements of Mormonism, I think I take a more historical view of it and think that if we went back to less than 200 years before the founding of kind of mainstream Christianity. I bet that people would think that that Christianity, the Christianity that we all take for granted right now, was pretty crazy too. I'm not saying that there aren't things about Mormonism and Joseph Smith and his revelations that don't really sound far out, but they're very recent. It's a new religion, and I guess from my perspective as more of a skeptic about religion, you know, all of them have things that sound pretty goofy. So I tend not to look personally on Mormonism as kind of uniquely weird. But, you know, maybe that's my own problem.
Well, some of these polls on the Mormon faith and Romney's candidacy have also found that people, when asked about it, usually gave a negative reaction, like they didn't know that much about the faith, and they'd say things like polygamy or cult or things like that, and not, you know, they just, so maybe did Mitt Romney miss an opportunity to talk a little bit more about the faith to allay people's fears?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that Mormons have a problem in that their religion it has all of the elements of mainstream Christianity, but it kind of interprets every one of those elements in a slightly unusual way. And Mormons are not that open about exactly how what is different when their missionaries come knocking at the door. If you actually let them in and talk to them, which I think most people don't do, they themselves don't at first explain exactly how different it is. You know, they love that the Book of Mormon is subtitled Another Testament of Jesus Christ. They make it seem as if they're just another denomination, and they're really not. Their view of things is very different than other Christians. But should Mitt Romney running for president have gone into these details? Probably not. I mean, you know, Kennedy's speech from 1960, which is thought of as a classic on these things, it's not as if he stood up and tried to defend the doctrine of the Eucharist or you know, the Virgin Mary and Catholic mm-hmm. views of that. I mean, we don't really want our politicians to get into these doctrinal issues. I think if he had done that, that probably would have, because there's nothing he can really do to kind of make a skeptical evangelical or skeptical secular person, for that matter, you know, warm up to the things that he believes as a Mormon just by explaining what they are. I think it more likely would have just raised even more questions. Yeah. Like, wait a minute, you mean you believe that God actually used to be a human being and he evolved into God? Like, how could he explain that in a speech in a way that wouldn't just lead people to run away thinking that Mormonism is even stranger than they thought in the first place?
Well, and I was listening to some interviews with people, linking Mormonism to Satan. Can you talk about that at all?
I can't talk about it because I didn't hear anyone say that. Yeah. I think that that's just that's a kind of maybe, if not an urban legend, then maybe a rural legend. I don't know. I don't think there's any truth to that.
Yeah. All right, Paul and Edgar. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm a Catholic, a practicing Catholic, and I'm also a union member, but I did not vote for John Kerry when he ran, and basically, that I felt that he basically disavowed his religion to some extent, especially when it came to the abortion issue. And you know, when your guest stated that maybe Mitt Romney shouldn't have gone into how his religion played a role in his decision making, in some respect I wish he would have. I wish he would have embraced it more and said what his views on religion and how they affect, like, even the pro-life issue or assisted suicide or things like that.
That may have been useful, although I think that he was, at least for evangelicals or members of the religious right, they would have been keyed into what he was saying in such a way that I think they probably heard him do exactly that. You see, you know, on the one hand, he tried to distance Mormonism from his activities when he would be president. So, again, from the segment at the top of the show, mm-hmm. saying that he wouldn't listen to the leaders of his church if it contradicted with his duty to uphold the Constitution and so forth. But then, much of the speech was actually about how important religion is mm-hmm. in general, and he kind of portrayed this portrait, he painted this portrait of America being a fundamentally religious nation, and he spoke about us all being children of God and having innate dignity given by God and defending every life, which is an allusion to abortion and so forth. So I think what he was doing there was trying to portray himself very much as in the mainstream of the religious right, in believing that despite all of our theological differences over doctrine and things like this, that all members of the religious right kind of share an interdenominational moral view that derives from Orthodox Christianity, upholding the dignity of all human beings, and then the public policies that follow from that, opposition to euthanasia, opposition to abortion, and so forth.
Yeah. Let me play a clip that talks a little bit more about what you're just saying.
There are some for whom these commitments are not enough. They would prefer it if I would simply distance myself from my religion, say that it's more a tradition than my personal conviction, or disavow one or another of its precepts. That I will not do. I believe in my Mormon faith, and I endeavor to live by it. My faith is the faith of my fathers. I will be true to them and to my beliefs. Some believe that such a confession of my faith will sink my candidacy. If they're right, so be it. But I think they underestimate the American people. Americans do not respect believers of convenience. Americans tire of those who would jettison their beliefs even to gain the world.
So is he right along those lines, Damon Lenker?
Well, I mean, he's right in, he's accurate in saying that there is this belief on the religious right, that there is this interdenominational moral conviction that is shared by those on the religious right. I think he's wrong in thinking that this can be used as a kind of civic religion for everyone to believe in. The thing that some people are criticizing him in for the speech, which I think is maybe the most interesting part of the speech, is an absence. It's actually the fact that he failed to mention atheists, agnostics, mm-hmm. skeptics, free thinkers, or what have you, as part of his symphony of faith, as he described the United States. And I don't think this was an oversight. This was deliberate. If you believe that religion is, as he says, he said toward the beginning of the speech, religion and freedom imply one another. They either are together or they die separately. If you believe, as he also said, that the foundation of the Constitution is faith, really people who aren't believers in that kind of interdenominational ethic of Christianity, broadly defined, then they're not really, they're kind of defective Americans in a way. And this isn't so much a criticism of Mitt Romney as it is a criticism of the ideology of the religious right and how it tries to portray the country in a more sectarian way than I think it really is in this day and age.
We need to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will be back continuing to talk with Damon Lenker, author of The Theocons, about Mitt Romney's faith speech yesterday. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 7:36 on this Friday, December the 7th. We are talking about Mitt Romney's speech yesterday, his Faith in America speech that he delivered from the George Bush Presidential Library in College Station, Texas.
Given our grand tradition of religious tolerance and liberty, some wonder whether there are any questions regarding an aspiring candidate's religion that are appropriate. I believe there are. And I'll answer them today.
Mitt Romney says his Mormon faith should not matter in his campaign to be president and promised that he would serve the interests of the nation, not the interests of the Mormon Church. We are talking with Damon Linker. He is author of The Theocons. He's also a senior writing fellow in the Center for Critical Writing at the University of Pennsylvania. Talking about Mitt Romney's speech yesterday, whether he allayed the fears, the concerns over his faith that some have expressed. Talking about religion and politics in general as well with Mike Huckabee, rising in the national polls. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. And I misspoke this afternoon after 5 o'clock. John Munson in for Ben Marins will be talking about something really interesting and current from today. He's not going to be talking about Mitt Romney's speech. He did that yesterday. I got the two confused. I apologize. Laura in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Faith. What faith? I mean, what about people who don't have faith? Are they still Americans? I don't know. I wonder, the president of the Latter-day Saints, does that mean that Mitt Romney will not be driven by whatever the president of the LDS Church says?
He says he's not. But you addressed that too, Damon Linker. What about people that don't have a faith?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that absence of a mention in his speech was very significant. Some have said that it was a strategy to make sure that that liberal commentators in newspapers and online kind of throw a conniption fit at which he wants, because that'll then kind of buck up the spirits of the religious right and see Romney even more as one of them. There might have been some of that to it, but it also it had to be that way, because this speech was not just to allay people's concerns about Mormonism. It was also to make a bid for Mitt Romney being the champion of what I call in my book theoconservative ideology. And that ideology is the reigning ideology on the religious right, and it holds that, if I can quote these couple of lines from the speech, freedom requires religion just as much as religion requires freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom and religion endure together or perish alone. The Constitution rests on a foundation of faith. So, given those assumptions, as I said earlier, those Americans who are not believers in some form of Christian, conservative Christianity, so that would even include more liberal Christians, aren't included either. They are somehow not real Americans, that they don't affirm that the Constitution, for instance, rests on a foundation of faith. If that's a requirement for citizenship or being a good citizen, at least, then he's automatically excluded large numbers of people from kind of the status of first class citizenship, and that's Karl Rove-ism. That's the strategy that George W. Bush used very effectively to get elected and especially reelected in 2004, and this was Romney's attempt to try to be the successor to that vision. So if that's what you want, the country to continue with in the next presidential cycle, then maybe Mitt Romney's your guy.
Yeah, he also said, and I don't have this clip handy, we separate church and state affairs in this country, and for good reason. No religion should dictate to the state, nor should the state interfere with the free practice of religion. But in recent years, the notion of the separation of church and state has been taken by some well beyond its original meaning. They seek to remove from the public domain any acknowledgement of God. Religion is seen merely as a private affair with no place in public life. It is as if they are intent on establishing a new religion in America, the religion of secularism. They are wrong.
Yes, absolutely, and that's the part of the speech that is most kind of straight out of theoconservative ideology, which again I talk mm-hmm. about in my book and in its history, how this has been constructed as the ideology that will unify all conservative religious believers in America, and it is precisely that, stationing conservative religious believers all on one side of a cultural chasm across from those secularists who are a kind of counter-religion on the other side, and that's the culture war. Mitt Romney doesn't want to move beyond the culture war. He wants to continue it and wants to be the leadership. He wants to lead the culture war on the conservative religious side. So again, if that's that is, you know, Mitt Romney, who is a moderate kind of technocratic governor in Massachusetts, has decided he wants to refashion himself as this kind of a culture warrior president to get the nomination. Great. All right. Well, we'll consider that that's who he is now, and we should either vote or not vote for him on those terms.
Jack in Oak Creek. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Say, your guest kind of put a nice spin on Romney saying freedom requires religion and religion requires freedom. I just think that was Romney sneaking in a subtle and discreet thing to confuse people that there's going to be religion in our government, even though in our Constitution it should not be there. And he says it's not going to be there. I don't believe it, and I don't believe what your guest is saying. Thank you.
Okay, I'm not really sure what I would have to say. I'm not even sure I fully understood his point.
I didn't either, because he was I think he's concerned he has the same concerns you do. Laura in Brookfield, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. You know, actually, people aren't going to vote for Mitt Romney not because he's a Mormon, but because he's a panderer in an empty suit. But beyond that, think about Rudy Giuliani and how he operates. How long do you think it's going to take him to start disseminating information on the more secretive or, quote-unquote, scarier aspects of Mormonism that Romney obviously did not address yesterday?
Yeah, on the pandering point, I mean, there is something to that, and I think one of the more difficult, if you will, parts of his speech yesterday was another one that you played a clip of earlier, where he talked about, Americans have had enough of people who will jettison their beliefs even to gain the world. Mm-hmm. The uncomfortable thing is that, as recently as the 2002 election, when he was running for governor of Massachusetts, he was essentially a pro-choice guy who didn't really care particularly one way or the other about the religious rights' most important issues, and he's had this kind of rebirth, conveniently in time for this election, and the religious right is very much aware of this, and it's one of the things, aside from his Mormonism, that a lot of people don't like, that he seems willing to adjust his beliefs for the sake of electoral gain, and we're not talking about marginal tax rate debates. We're talking about issues that the religious right treats as being very, very important. I mean, fundamental questions about right and wrong. And so he faces that uphill battle as well. As for whether Rudy Giuliani would start releasing anonymous tips to the press about how about how Mormons do baptisms for the dead or that they believe God lives on a planet somewhere out there called Kolob and so forth, which are both things that Mormons believe. I don't know if he would do that. I'm not sure how effective it would be, because it would only be effective if he could do it in the way I just described, as a kind of tip that a journalist would then bring up. But journalists can look into that on their own, and they're not really stories, because this is common knowledge. You can go to any website about Mormon beliefs and learn this stuff.
I saw a quick a clip of Rudy Giuliani reacting to Romney's speech, and he sounded very gracious. And said something like, his religion shouldn't matter in the campaign, but that was his very quick reaction to the debate when asked, or to the speech. Damon Linker is our guest, author of The Theocons. Secular America Under Siege, talking with us about Mitt Romney's speech about faith in America yesterday. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review. We will welcome in two guests from different perspectives to talk with you about the news of the week. The Week in Review, coming up after 8. Back to the phones. Joe in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for the show. It's great. Mm-hmm. I had a question about whether this guest thinks that this sort of religiosity in the Republican Party alienates Republicans who are not so evangelical. I'm not a Republican, but my father is and has been for years and years. But he has become so annoyed by this sort of fervor that's out there that, you know, he might just sit out. And I'm wondering if they doom themselves in the general election by sort of joining themselves at the hip with the evangelical side of the Republican Party.
Yeah, well, that's a good question, especially since when commentators and analysts talk about the problems in the Republican Party, it's usually cast in the opposite direction, that what can the candidate do to make sure that the evangelicals show up to vote and don't sit it out? And there's been concern that if Giuliani somehow could get the nomination, that then the evangelicals in the party won't show up in November for him. But the guest is saying the opposite. Well, what if a religious right candidate wins, and then more secular, more libertarian, economically libertarian Republicans decide to sit it out? It's possible. The Republican Party is a fractious coalition, just like the Democratic Party is, with different groups, and it's a tricky business trying to hold it together. When things are going well, as they were in, say, 2004, for Republicans, they all can hang together and cover over their differences. When things are not going as well as they are now because of Iraq and the president, stuck below 35% approval for years, then things become more fractious. And what we're witnessing is a really fascinating primary season for the Republicans, where really no one is able to do what George W. Bush did, which is somehow contain within himself all of those contradictory impulses in the party. Each candidate speaks to one aspect of the coalition and then kind of polarizes some other aspect of it. And that's why none of them have been decisively in the lead. And, you know, now Huckabee is surging and everyone else is going down. And, you know, Huckabee was in the basement before, and Ron Paul continues to do about 8% when he's, you know, very far out of the mainstream of the current Republican Party. So it's a really fascinating race for the exactly the reasons that your caller brought up.
Yeah, there is this new poll out today. Mike Huckabee vaulted from nowhere into second place in the Republican presidential race, riding a burst of support from evangelical Southerners and conservatives. He also vaulted quite a bit in, I think he's in first place in Iowa. So
yeah.
And he's running that that ad, too, that, what is it, tout him as the Christian leader.
Yeah, that's probably the most sectarian political ad I've ever seen, where someone basically says, vote for me because I'm a Christian like you, which is a jab at both Romney for being a Mormon who's a Christian not like you, because that's different and weird, he's implying, and then also a jab, I think, at Rudy Giuliani, who's not so faith-based, if you know what I mean.
Right, but then Rudy Giuliani is picking up some evangelicals endorsing him, like, you know, Pat Robertson and others.
Yeah, but I think Pat Robertson has kind of lost his mind. I mean, that was a very strange decision on his part to do that, and to do it it as early as he did. But, you know, Rudy has made a very strong play for evangelical votes by trying to so moralize the war. It's as if he's saying, yeah, I'm not with you on abortion or gay marriage or any of these other normally central issues for you evangelicals, but you care about the war, and boy, do I care about the war. The war is this civilizational conflict, and I'm going to fight it even more aggressively than George W. Bush, and that appeals to some evangelicals who see the war in this kind of almost eschatological way as a fundamental conflict between civilizations. And so he's had some luck doing that. You know, now with Huckabee surging and Romney making this big play for the evangelical votes, I think that strategy is going to become more difficult for Giuliani.
I was looking for, there was also a story in the news, I just wanted your reaction to it. It was Mike Huckabee saying he's not going to go there. He was asked about whether women should be able to be pastors or priests or something along those lines, and said that this is not this isn't an issue of for the presidential campaign, and I'm not going to comment on it.
Yeah, well, I actually hadn't heard that, and I tend to agree with him that isn't the kind of thing that you would really hope to hear in a presidential campaign. But he has an incentive to not say, because he probably would say that he's against women's ordination, I would guess, because he's very conservative. And that's a major issue on the religious right. Most active members of the religious right are against these kinds of modern trends, including ordination of women. So he probably knows that it wouldn't be a good idea to come out and say that, because some of those women might take offense.
Well, here's an email we received from Brett in Muskego. It's kind of long, so I'm going to edit it a little bit. There's been quite a bit of talk over Mitt Romney and his religious beliefs. I find this interesting and intriguing. My view upon this raises some questions and concerns. When I consider voting next year, the big questions I have for the candidates are whether or not this candidate will uphold family values, marriage, and the Constitution. For Mitt Romney, I would answer yes. He would support and maintain these principles. Whether or not he is a Mormon should not come into play. You just want to react to that?
Well, it sounds like the person who wrote the email is pretty much articulating the views of exactly what Mitt Romney would hope people would say. Mitt Romney's play in that speech yesterday was precisely to motivate voters like that to join him. People who are more culturally conservative, inclined to vote for a Republican, and yet not particularly interested in the kind of doctrinal or theological differences among different denominations. And it's true. I mean, although evangelicals are very suspicious of Mormons as religious believers, they work side by side with them all the time as foot soldiers in the religious right, because Mormons are very, on the whole, very socially conservative. I think Utah voted more overwhelmingly for Bush in 2004 than any other state in the country. It was a huge landslide. I think Kerry got something like 18% of the vote in Utah. I mean, it was tremendously lopsided. So for a voter like that, that's exactly what Mitt Romney was trying to accomplish yesterday. So he succeeded, apparently, in this case.
Paul in West Bend, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Romney referencing that you have to have a faith system to the Constitution is predicated on that, I think is incorrect or ludicrous. Let's face it, the Constitution is a document that was developed by pragmatic founders that saw what happened in England, and it's a compact with a quid pro quo. Here are the rules we're going to govern ourselves by, and whether or not you believe in a benevolent God or not has nothing to do with the implementation of that, or the creation and the implementation of that, of our founding documents. And for him to play on that just, you know, very much irritates me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly not to Mitt Romney alone. This is now kind of boilerplate. I mean, what we're really dealing with here is that members of the religious right are believe in a kind of alternative universe than the rest of America. They have their own history, their own account of the American founding, account of the founders. According to them, the founders were, most of them, Orthodox Christians of one kind or another. Although the Constitution itself doesn't mention God, they claim that it is created to defend natural rights, and natural rights are articulated most clearly in the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence makes reference to God and nature's God, and that itself is a reference to kind of medieval Christendom and medieval Christian notions of natural law. They have a very elaborate, sophisticated account of American history that's very different than the one that the call expressed, which is, you know, for what it's worth, the one that I think is also true. I agree with the caller on that. But it's not something that just came out of the blue in Mitt Romney's speech. He is playing into, and again, choosing to position himself as the standard bearer for those who believe in this alternative account of things.
We'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Damon Linker is author of the book Theocons, Secular America Under Siege. He is also a senior writing fellow in the Center for Critical Writing at the University of Pennsylvania. His essays and reviews have appeared in numerous publications. And he also did some work, a two-year visiting professorship at Brigham Young University. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.